Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon. It's Patty Mack here, Lifestyle every Saturday, right here from 1 to 2 on CFAX 1070. I love being here every Saturday with you because we get to meet such wonderful people, hear their stories. And today is no exception. We're going to talk later on to Charlene from Aesthetic Design Concepts about feng shui and how that can improve your life, your home. She'll give us all those details. Esther Kane is joining us off the top. We're going to talk about her book. It's called It's Not About the Food. And, you know, many people struggle with weight, me included. And we've been on many diets and, you know, gone the gamut. A lot of people who are slim don't ever understand that every day is a battle when you're battling weight and that it's in your head. It's something you think about all the time. And society doesn't help with that. And Esther is a clinical counselor and has a great take on this from her own experience. And it's a great book, and I think you're going to really enjoy reading it. Welcome to the show, Esther.
Yes.
Hi there. So, Esther, you're from Courtney right now, aren't you? You've been all over the country, but you live on our island now.
I do. I live in Courtney full-time, but I travel a lot, yeah.
You do. And, you know, your book I thought was great. First of all, the design on the cover is excellent.
Oh, thank you.
I think it kind of tells a story. And looking at your website and all you do for women, you have a real passion for women and the struggle that they go through.
Yes, I do. I do. It's my life's calling.
So tell us about your journey with food, because I know your mom was very prominent in the food industry. I think it was Chatelaine she worked with.
Well, my mother's name is Marion Kane, and she was the food editor of the Toronto Star for almost 20 years. And it's Canada's largest newspaper. So I grew up in Toronto with a food critic mother.
Wow.
And, yeah, my mother was very well known in Toronto and was on every newspaper box. It was quite embarrassing when I was a teenager, but her face was everywhere, and I looked just like her. So no getting away from that. And so I was taken to the finest establishments, eating establishments in Toronto from a very, very young age to taste foods, test foods, you know, see which dishes would be written about and so forth. So, and on the other extreme, my parents were divorced and my father was a vegan. So he was into health food and macrobiotics. So I lived half time with each parent, and one half of the week I would be eating gourmet food of all kinds, and my mother is a carnivore, so I would eat that. And then the other half of the week, I would be eating this vegan macrobiotic diet, sort of brown rice and vegetables and tofu. So it was a very confusing childhood around food.
And did your parents have any weight issues?
Not really. Well, my mother went on a public diet when she was about, actually the age I'm at now, 43. Maybe she did a bit younger. Maybe she was in her late 30s, I believe. It was a big deal in Toronto. She publicly went on a diet in the newspaper and lost a lot of weight and had a dietitian, and she wrote about it every week. And so she did lose 30 pounds, I believe it was. But we're both very small. We're 5 foot one, and we're Ashkenazi Jewish, so we're round women. We're not meant to be skinny and curvy, and we tend to put on weight easily. So my mother went on this diet and publicly, and so that I went through that with her, and I was a teenager. I was about 14 at the time, I think, and that was a very impressionable age. So she got into this really low-fat, restrictive thing. She wrote a book about it, and in the end, it failed because we know now that low-fat diets don't work. Well, diets don't work. So I watched my mother go through that as well, and that's about the time I developed my own eating disorder.
You know, it's interesting. My husband's been in the media here for years, and he went on a similar plan. And, you know, people are very cruel about things like that. It's either you're succeeding or you're not succeeding.
If you
gain a pound, and they look at you and judge you. And, you know, I just was watching a show earlier about this thing called My 600-Pound Life. It's a TV reality show.
Yes, I heard about that.
And, you know, people judge everybody all the time on so many things. And if we think if we get skinny, then life will be great. And I think you know from your what you went through, because you did a similar thing as your mom and lost weight. And did it make you any happier?
No. Well, I was anorexic, actually. It was pretty bad. I think at my worst, I was just under 100 pounds. And at my best, I should be about 125, 130. So I was pretty underweight, but I ended up being bulimic. I did the whole thing. I joke about how I've tried every different kind of eating disorder out there, so I kind of know the rounds. So I was anorexic, I was bulimic. Then I became orthorexic, which is, have you heard of orthorexia?
I think I just have, and is that, describe what it is.
Yeah, well, orthorexia, to me, I'm really big on talking about orthorexia, especially living on the island. I don't know if you find this in Victoria so much, but where I live, there's a lot of people that are very into the health food movement, and mm-hmm. a lot of it is around raw food around where I live. Mm-hmm. People go on these very extreme diets. What orthorexia is, it was a term coined by Dr. Stephen Bratman in a wonderful book I recommend highly called Health Food Junkies. And what orthorexia nervosa is, he coined this term, is the fixation on eating healthy food. Mm-hmm. And my experience was basically I turned vegetarian when I was 15. And I think it was a bit of an attitude thing, you know, 15 years old, to really bug my mother. If I really wanted to get to my mother, food writer, I could turn vegetarian. That would be the number one thing I could do to drive her insane, and it worked. So I became vegetarian, and then I became vegan, and then I wouldn't eat her food, and that's a really interesting thing in a mother-daughter dynamic.
And it's like a religion, isn't it, nowadays?
Yeah, and I feel so bad for my mom. We've worked through this in therapy, but I was terrible to... Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine what it was like having me as a kid. But anyway, I was vegan. I started working at health food stores. Food became a religion to me, actually. It mm-hmm. became like a lifeline. My food, my diet was like a religion, really. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think orthorexia is, you know?
Yeah, when you're afraid to open the cupboard or the fridge because you don't know what to have anymore.
When you're afraid of food. Food is just food. Right? It's just a substance. It's fuel for the body. But we give it this godlike status when we're sick.
And we want to enjoy our lives. And food is such a big part of that. And like what your mother did for a living, to gather around a table. Mm-hmm. And even culturally, talking about being Jewish, a lot of cultures, food is a reward. So one thing you're being told, you know, you're too fat. And the next thing you know, have another knish, right?
Yeah. Well, interestingly, what really turned me around, there are two events I've been asked a lot when I've done workshops and talks about what the pivotal moments were when I stopped, when I started to recover from my eating disorder. And it was when I was, I would say, 19 years old is when it really turned around for me, or started. I mean, it was a very long process. But one thing is my grandmother is a Holocaust refugee, and she survived the escape from Latvia, Riga, in 1939 and came to Canada, and only four of them survived, or five, I think it was five, and 32 relatives were killed. My mother's actually just written a whole thing on this. It's called Mom and Me. It's about my grandmother's journey with the Holocaust. She's still alive. But anyway, my grandmother saw a picture of me when I was 19, and I had shaved my head. I wasn't wearing makeup, and I was anorexic, and I was really underweight. And she wanted to talk to me on the phone, and she just said to me, "You look like a Holocaust survivor."
Oh, wow.
And she was shaken to the bone. Oh. And she said, "Why would you do that when you have a choice?"
Oh, my gosh, Esther.
And so that was one of the key turnarounds for me, is to devastate my grandmother like that after what she went through was the worst thing I could possibly think of doing in my life. And the second was that my little sister Ruth was born when I was almost 17, quite a lot. My mom was 42 when she had Ruth, and she was a surprise. And I realized I was really, really sick, and Ruth's dad left. It was a very awful situation. So my mom and I were left to raise my sister together, and I had to be healthy to be there to wake up and feed her and change her. And so I decided I had to be alive, really, to care for her.
Esther, it's a great book. It's called It's Not About the Food, Esther Kane. It really is an important piece of reading if you deal with any food issues or people you know. Back in 2 minutes with Esther.
When news breaks, Victoria counts on CFAX 1070.
This just into the newsroom. Callers are reporting a massive...
If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
When you're thinking of a bicycle, think this name, Pedigo. Pedego Electric Bicycles. And good afternoon. I'm Terry Moore. We're on location at 2039 Oak Bay Avenue. And this is the first fully dedicated shop in Greater Victoria that is dedicated to the electric bike. We're not talking scooters here. We're talking about bicycles. We're talking about a bike you can get on, got a great saddle. It looks fantastic. You can cycle it if you want. You get to that hill, you want to cut in the throttle, up you go. It's got full gears. It's got everything that you want on a regular bicycle. But this is a big step up, and it's a beautiful design, too. Designed in California. As a matter of fact, the man who put the company together is here with us today at 2039 Oak Bay Avenue. But while you're here and you're contemplating buying a bike, let me give you some incentive. $200 off of cycling clothing with the purchase of any bicycle until the 20th day of July. When you see the designs and when you see the variation that are in these machines, you'll say, you know what? This is really the kind of thing we're looking for. Those of you who don't ride bicycles or haven't ridden for a very long time, you're going to get your childhood back. You're going to love what you see. You're going to love what you ride, and they'll give you free demonstration rides. There's all kinds of people down here to give you all the information that you need. Check it out for yourself. Remember the name. It's a brand new name. It's called Pedego, and we're at 2039 Oak Bay Avenue. Don't miss out.
The idea was modest enough. A local bakery serving the people of Vancouver Island. Simple, right? Island Bakery has employed a local approach for over 30 years. They've been locally owned and operated since 1982, providing local jobs, cheering on local sports teams, supporting local charities, and baking fresh bread locally, made with certified organic grains. After all, this is your island, and it's your choice to choose local. Island Bakery. The local choice.
Hi, we're the Three Tenors.
He's kidding. We can't sing at all.
But you'll be singing when you buy your new flooring from Tenor Tile. Tenor Tile are the leaders in ceramic tile, and they have the largest selection on Vancouver Island, including various styles of porcelain, glass, and natural stone.
They also carry hardwoods and laminates, and they'll match any competitor's price.
A one, a two, a three.
Tenor Tile!
Sing the praises of Tenor Tile on Garbley Road, just off Bridge Street. Online at tenortile.com.
Let's not quit our day jobs.
We are back. Patty Mack here. If you want to get a hold of me, my website is lifestylewithpattymack.com. I'm a realtor. I've got the radio show. If you want to know anything about either thing, I'd love to hear from you. I always like getting your comments and also your ideas for shows. Joining us today is Esther Kane. Her book is called It's Not About the Food, A Woman's Guide to Making Peace with Food in Her Body. She's a registered clinical counselor. It's a great book. And, you know, we left off on one note. Let's talk about the next phase in this, which is your approach. How do we help ourselves to like ourselves better, enjoy our life, enjoy our food, and get on with it?
Right. Okay. So I'm a psychotherapist in private practice. I should just make that clear. And my website, by the way, is estherkane.com. It's estherkane.com. Also, if you want to know more about my book, workshops, and audio program, it's endyoureatingdisorder.com. So basically, I work with women with all sorts of issues in person and via the phone, but the most common thing that comes across, and no matter what a woman is struggling with, is her relationship with food and her body. It seems to always come up, regardless of the issue that is presenting. So my approach is, first of all, that we live in a food obsessed culture, a fitness obsessed culture, what I call an eating disorder culture, where women are at war with their bodies. And I think there's politics behind this. In my opinion, there's three messages that women get from the media. One, you can never be too thin. Mm-hmm. Two, you can never be too young. I'm writing another book about that.
Yeah, that looks good too.
Yeah, how to midwife your midlife. and then three, you can never be too rich. So those are the standards by which we're sort of trying to measure ourselves.
Not much to live up to, really.
just a little thing here and there. Oh, plus you're supposed to have a career, fulfilling career, and raise children.
Perfect children.
Yeah. So the facts are, studies have shown 80 to 90% of women dislike the size and shape of their bodies. Mm. 70% of women in Canada are dieting, and that's from a few years ago, so it's probably higher. Mm. And the new F word is fat. More girls and women fear becoming fat than they fear dying.
Wow.
These are facts. So basically what I tell women is you don't have to be at war with your body. This is something we can choose to rebel against. The facts are less than 3% of women are genetically predisposed to be tall and thin. And looking like a model or a superstar is a full-time job if you do happen to be one of those 3% of people. For example, Madonna in the old days used to work out at least 2.5 hours a day and was on an extremely restrictive diet. And, you know, those supermodels that you see, for the most part, we're finding out more and more, are literally anorexic.
Right. And when you look at a Madonna, you know, really, that's not what 56 looks like for most people.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, there's a whole plastic surgery on top of that. So basically, this you can never be too young. This is my big bandwagon now because I'm 43 and entering that time of life when you start to realize that the pressure to look young is huge. Mm-hmm. You know, people are starting to get all these cosmetic procedures and whatnot. So what I really focus on is a very self-loving approach. And loving ourselves through this, and really, so I work from the personal is political as well. I'm very, very big on sharing my own experience with these struggles as well, that I'm just a woman like every other woman out there, and that I struggle with this stuff every day, just like you. Mm-hmm. And I find that when I do that, there's a real connecting point with myself and my clients. So they don't feel that I'm in a different category or that I'm better than them or, you know, because we all struggle with this to some degree. And what I'm really about is the power to change. So I work from a political point of view. So I do explain in my book, a history, actually, of body image in North America. There's a whole chapter on that. And I just want to point out that we have only been, you know, fashions change, body fashions change. So within the last 100 years, it's only been around the last 100 years that women have been totally obsessed with their weight and how they look. Well, not how they look. They've always been a little bit obsessed. But guess what was invented 100 years ago?
Dieting?
Mirrors.
Mirrors,
So mirrors came along about 100 years ago. And scales. So two inventions, mirrors and scales. And actually tall buildings, because tall buildings, and you know, being urban, you know, with all of the developments in the world and industrialization, women could actually see their reflections in these buildings now. So it was sort of then that we started to get this obsessiveness. And people realized it was big business. So I basically want to say that what the media is doing is, it's big business. They make money by making women feel insecure about their bodies. The bottom line, that's it.
Very true. And you know, my mom was in a seniors living place, and women were still in their 90s talking about losing 10 pounds.
Oh, geez.
I know.
When can you stop?
It's crazy, right? And I think it's that internal dialogue like you talk about. And you have parts in your book that talk about putting in the right, you know, the right mindset. It starts there. And maybe, you know, I think getting rid of the scale, too. I think that lots of times these scales are in people's bathrooms. It's like, you know, they want to horrify themselves every day and make themselves feel bad. So what other tips do you have for people? What is your take on kind of what you can eat or what you do eat and exercise, all those sort of typical things? Or is there a typical thing?
Okay, so basically, I don't talk a lot about food and exercise with my clients. It's the basics are true, and we all know them.
Yeah.
Every woman that comes to me knows more than I do about that stuff. Let's face it.
That's true.
We know about every bloody diet that's been invented, right? Yeah. We've tried it all. We've tried the Atkins.
Yeah.
We've tried the low fat. We've tried the, you know, the raw food and the, you know, now it's the paleo diet, the raw food diet. There's all these different diets. And basically, I want people to remember at all times, every time you think about going on a diet, I want you to ask, who's making money from this?
Wow. Yeah.
Who's making money? It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. And the facts are that 93 to 95% of dieters regain all the weight they lost between 2 and 5 years of the original diet, plus 10 pounds.
It's just such a big business. And, you know, you're talking about your new book. And I think when you get to your mid, you know, say 50s or, you know, as you're approaching 50s, you get where maybe you have a little more money, you have a little more of this and that. And it's sort of like you don't want to give up anything anymore. So you have the little pooch and all that stuff. But it's like, hey, you know, I'm struggling with it, but I really don't want to do anything about it in some ways, you know?
Right, right. And I think that's really important. So I had a client this week, and this is a perfect example, who's a beautiful, gorgeous young woman in her 20s who looked at me and she said, there's something I want to talk to you about. And it was, okay. And it was her belly. And, you know, the belly and the tears. And I thought, wow. And my response to that was, isn't that an interesting perception that women have about their bellies? What do our bellies do? They give life.
Yeah.
Our bellies give life. Like, men can't do that.
And they have bellies.
Yeah, they have bellies too. And their bellies are great too. But, you know, but it's so interesting how we learn to hate this belly. And it's any protrusion of the belly, right? Yeah. A flat stomach is all that we accept in this society. And any woman that has had a child knows. I mean, some women, it magically disappeared. But a lot of women.
I hate those women.
Right?
And I had three. I had a 10-pounder, so it's like, help.
Yeah, you know, and that's, to me, it's like war wounds, you know. It's like, you know, it's something to show off.
So but, love that belly.
Yeah, good. That's wonderful. And I think it's so important that we start to just reframe this stuff in terms of who's winning and who's losing and who am I trying to please. And the nice thing that I found after turning 40 is you start to not care so much about what other people think. That's the magic of midlife, in my opinion.
That's very true. And you write an interesting blog about bathing suits because, yes. You know, we see Sports Illustrated. And
my swimsuit issue, yes.
So in the little bit of time we have left, give us some advice on this and what your take on the bathing suit was.
My bathing suit, basically, I bought a $20 Costco bathing suit, and it looked like awful, just awful. And I went to a Soyuz for a month, and I felt terrible in it, and I couldn't stand how I looked. And I've worked really hard on loving my body. So my husband said, why don't we go buy you a really nice bathing suit? And I spent, let's face it, $300, I think, on two really nice bathing suits. But I have large breasts. They are underwire. They have bras inside. They're flattering. They're beautiful. I felt like $1 million. And as I said in my blog, I was walking around like Marilyn Monroe incarnated around that pool.
When you hoist those girls up, it helps a lot.
Yeah, it really does. And I think it's about really working with what we have. I mean, common sense. There's common sense about food and weight. I'm not about restrictive diets. I'm about, you know, eating, mindful eating is a big part of what I talk about a lot, especially in the book, is mindful eating and being very mindful. So eating when you're hungry, stopping when you're full, not doing distracted eating, which we do so much of, being there in the present, just eating when you're eating, not watching TV, not reading. Retraining the brain, I have a whole chapter on cognitive behavioral therapy. So basically, the emotions we experience, we create by what we think. So our thoughts are very powerful, and we have to work a lot on changing our thoughts from negative to positive.
Esther, it's been so wonderful having you on the show. The book is called It's Not About the Food, A Woman's Guide to Making Peace with our Food and Our Bodies. You can get a hold of Esther at her website, and that is
www.estherkane.com.
And you can get a hold of me at lifestylewithpattymack.com. Esther, I do hope you'll come back on again about many topics and, of course, about your new book. I think you've given lots of insight today, and I really appreciate it.
Great. I hope it's helpful for people.
It's very helpful. And if you help one person in this world, it's all worth it. Oh. Back after the news with Charlene.
This is Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon. It's 1:30. I'm Jillian Vandergeest with CFAX 1070 News. A man police call a person of interest in the disappearance of 5-year-old Calgary boy and his grandparents is out on bail on an unrelated matter. But Douglas Garland faces tight restrictions. He's been ordered to live in transitional housing such as a hotel, motel, or a homeless shelter and must report to a bail supervisor 3 times a week and to police once a week. Garland is not allowed to return to his home northeast of Airdrie, which is being searched by police. The coroner's service has identified the 44-year-old man who died during a paragliding accident near Pemberton. It says Judd Feldman and a friend launched their paragliders and hoped to fly to an area where others were camping, but the two became separated. The service says Feldman was reported missing and spotted by Canadian Forces Buffalo aircraft near the peak of Owl Ridge on Thursday. It says military search and rescue technicians parachuted to the site and found Feldman dead. The children's book, And Tango Makes Three, inspired by a real-life story of two male penguins raising a baby chick in New York Zoo, has been deemed inappropriate by state-run Singapore libraries. The conservative city state's information minister says he supports the decision to destroy all copies alongside two other titles. He says the prevailing norms in Singapore support teaching children about conventional families. The last surviving member of one of the most influential punk bands of the 70s has died.
Drummer and producer Tommy Ramone died Friday, according to a business associate. He died at his home in Queens, New York. Ramone had been in hospice care following treatment for bile duct cancer. He was 62. Tommy was the band's manager before becoming the group's drummer on their first three albums, Ramone's Leave Home and Rocket to Russia. The Ramones finally disbanded in 1996. Joey Ramone died of lymphoma in 2001. Dee Dee succumbed to a drug overdose the next year, and Johnny died from prostate cancer in 2004. The Ramones were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2002. Todd Ant, ABC News.
The island's biggest rock music festival, is underway in Colwood and right on the heels of the province's new liquor laws going into effect. CFAX 1070's Sandy Heimlich Hall has the story.
Organizers of Rock the Shores say they regard this event as the island's first big test of the new laws. Nick Blasco says he is aware that officials will be watching closely, as there's no beer garden, which means those drinking alcohol can intermingle with minors.
The main thing we're watching for on site, really between RCMP and security, is really keeping an eye on the minors. Because this is, I've been saying this before, this is unprecedented what we're about to do and what they've sort of given us the responsibility of doing.
Blasco says a lot of planning went into this with West Shore Communities, RCMP, and the Liquor Board. He says RCMP are on hand and will be handing out fines of $575 to those breaking the rules. Sandy Heimlich Hall, CFAX 1070 News.
That's CFAX News to 133. Weather is next.
Your pet doesn't speak English, but you understand.
Hungry again?
Okay, let's cuddle.
I'll get the Frisbee.
And Pets West is here to keep your relationship strong with a huge selection of supplies, food, and toys. Plus, expert customer service from Lisa and her terrific team. Interested in biologically appropriate food? Try Irresistible Raw Food. Easy now. It's BC made, it's completely raw, and they'll love it. Check out the in-store specials at Pets West, committed to your pet and the community since 1989.
Taking a look at weather now, a lot of sunshine in the forecast today, looking to reach highs of 28 for this afternoon. Clear skies overnight and lows to 14. And for your Sunday, more sunshine in the forecast, a mix of sun and cloud for your afternoon, and highs to 28 and 22 near the water. Right now, outside our studios downtown, we're at a sunny 25 degrees. I'm Jillian Vandergeest. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. It's 1:34.
Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
We are back. I'm Patty Mack. You'll hear me every Saturday from 1 to 2 right here on CFAX 1070. You can contact me through my website, which is Patty Mack. LifestyleWithPattyMack.com. Joining me in this section of the show is Charlene Ionescu, and she's with Aesthetic Design Concept Services. And she's been on before talking about different subjects. And today our topic is feng shui at home. And it's, you know, a topic a lot of people don't know a lot about and don't know how it really affects your home. Charlene, what is feng shui?
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Charlene.
So feng shui, it's the Chinese art of placement, and it has been practiced for over 3,000 years in China. So what it means is, the definition is wind and water. So it's all about movement and circulation. And, you know, we tend to know it as having an esoteric side, you know, so, which seems at first peculiar for some Westerners.
I think that's it. I think that people sometimes poo-poo ideas they don't know anything about, but yet in the cultures, it's been very successful in bringing harmony into their lives. I guess it's very much like if we have too much clutter or too much areas that affect our lives can affect our finances. So let's take your house, for instance. Do you have any rooms that you use these principles in, and how has it affected the home?
Well, I do use those principles. It's just for common sense, you know. It's about creating harmony and balance in an environment. And so some examples how we apply that is that we make sure that our traffic patterns through our home is very convenient. And we also position our furniture in comfortable arrangements. We try very hard to eliminate clutter in our living and workspaces. And we are sensible to the ways that would make our life easier and more efficient.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean putting all the furniture against the wall, but it might mean that you don't have a lot of things to get around either in the middle of the room.
Well, to simplify it, basically it's about energy. So it's called ki, and the energy should flow and as you walk into your room. So you try not to have things that would obstruct your life, you know, or your... So that's how the Chinese culture bring that. The more flow you have through your home, the more qi, the more smooth it runs, then the more good luck you bring to your environment.
And, you know, I'm a realtor at RE/MAX, and I specialize in, 40-plus and downsizing and all kinds of things like that. And I go and I do look at homes and try and stage things. And, you know, when you take a client in a home, it's that energy you feel right away that people are either turned off or really like
yes.
it. And you can feel a home that has a good energy about it.
Yes, and that's in feng shui, it's translated into yin and yang. So those are the two energy, and they complement each other. They're not really in opposition to each other. And what it means is, like, for example, if you have a room that has too much yin, which means it's too dark, or, you know, you would feel that either it's too damp, too dark, it's decorated with only grays and blues, it's always closed or has been occupied for a long time by someone who has been chronically sick. That's the type of room where we tend not to feel comfortable in.
So what are some tips, say, in a room like that, if we want to bring back some life, some energy, because we just feel that when we walk in there? Are there certain paint colors that work?
Yes, happy colors for window treatments, bright colors for self-furnishing, duvet, bed sheets, have vases of freshly cut water with it. But it would be about bringing in the light, and it would be, you know, if bringing some sound, some life and laughter, some through TV or radio, introducing movement with mobiles or wind chimes. The preferred color would be to use would be whites, pinks, yellows, and, you know what, even some reds.
You know, it's interesting. Last time we were talking about, seniors and,
yes.
and a lot of the issues around that was very interesting. I had a lot of great feedback about that show. You talk about bringing life into the room, because I think lots of times we think someone's ill or, we have to be very quiet and keep... We need to bring life in, don't we, whether it's by the radio, CFAX, or the TV, or whatever way it is, to bring back some music, something to feel we're in a positive path.
Yes, and then what is interesting, Patty, that there's also the other situation where there's too much yang.
Mm.
So this means that too much light and too much noise. So it's that type of house where, for instance, you are exposed to bright sunlight, or you're exposed to heat of any kind, or if the house is located near an electrical transmitter, or if your views are of a large factory, refineries, you know, that type of environment is also disturbing for a lot of people.
I've always enjoyed where I live, and it must have the right yin and yang for us because it really works. When we come back, more with Charlene.
When news breaks, Victoria counts on CFAX 1070.
Dozens of people fell ill after swimming at Thetis Lake Regional Park over the weekend.
The BC Teachers Federation has given 72-hour strike notice.
There are still several days left during which both sides can avoid a full-scale strike.
Well, Washington State is fed up with Victoria's sewage woes.
If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
I got a question for you. Do you remember that feeling when you were riding your bicycle downhill, that kind of freedom, that movement, and no major effort? Well, that feeling that it gave you in motion without any effort at all? Well, you know what? Somewhere down the line, you know, you're riding your bike along at one point, and you've been going a pretty good clip, and you've been going for part of the day, and you think, oh, man, my legs are getting a little tired. So what happens? You get to a hill, and then, well, you know what happens. but not with pedigo, because when you ride a pedigo, you can bicycle if you wish, and then when you get to that hill, just cut in the throttle and away you go. And good afternoon. I'm Terry Moore. We're on location today at 2039 Oak Bay Avenue at Pedigo, a brand new store. This is the second location in Canada. This is a brand new electrical bike system, and of course, this is a dedicated electrical bike store, the only one in Greater Victoria right now. And I got to tell you this, when you see them and you have a ride on it and you talk to the people here at Pedigo, you'll know why so many people, and as a matter of fact, we've sold about four or five of them today, people dropping in and saying, I can't believe how good it looks and how wonderful it is to ride. Check it out for yourself. And by the way, when you do buy a bike between now and the 20th of July, here's the story on it, friends. You will get $200 off on the cycling clothing with the purchase of any bicycle. And today, right through till the 20th of July, 25% off of all clothing. That includes shoes and all kinds of things. So look it. Check it out for yourself. But just remember this name. It's a very, very big name coming up in Canada, and it's called Pedigo. We're at 2039 Oak Bay Avenue, Oak Bay.
Now, CFAX 1070 Community Connection.
Brought to you by Fairway Markets.
Hey guys, I'm Caitlin Livingston letting you know what's happening around Victoria. It's Bobblehead Night this Friday with the Victoria Harbor Cats. This first 1,500 fans through the gate will receive an exclusive Harvey the Mascot bobblehead. And tickets are now on sale for Taste for the Tour at the Bay Street Armories on Friday, July 25th. You won't want to miss this whiskey tasting event, which supports Cop for Cancer and Tour D-Rock. The Mexican Canadian Community Association of Victoria and the Victoria Multicultural Society presents Festival Mexicano today and tomorrow at Centennial Square. It's a free family event featuring live music and salsa dancing lessons, piñatas, tasty Mexican food, and more from noon to 5 p.m. To find out more about these and other events, just log into our website, cfax1070.com. That's your community connection brought to you by Fairway Market, fresher and tastier than ever.
Quick question, what's better than free? I guess I put you on the spot. Sorry. In the meantime, get down to Fairway Markets for their buy one, get one free sales event. Look for great deals in your Fairway flyer, like inside round marinating steak, buy one, get one free. Fresh pineapple, buy one, get one free. Dasani water, a case of 12, buy one, get one free. There are 18 great products in all. Everybody loves free. So take advantage of the buy one, get one free sales event today. If you haven't shopped Fairway Markets lately, you haven't shopped Fairway Markets.
If you're thinking diamonds, think Barclays, Victoria's diamond and engagement ring destination. Hi, Jeffrey here from Barclays Fine Custom Jewelers. No matter what kind of diamond or diamond jewellery you're looking for, we have the selection, quality and experience you'd expect from a trusted local jeweller. As Victoria's exclusive member of the Independent Jewellers Organisation, we also get the best prices on the finest quality diamonds. So if you're thinking diamonds, think Barclays. To learn more, visit us in Oak Bay Village or online at Barclays. BarclaysJewelers.com.
Shining the spotlight on Victoria's finest talent. Eye on the Arts with Adam Sawatsky. Sundays at noon on CFAX 1070.
We are back. Patty Mac here with Lifestyle. We are talking to Charlene Ionescu, talking about feng shui at home. Charlene, what about plants and greenery, like living things, not the plastic flowers in your home? What kind of, what does that add to your environment?
Well, the belief is that plants play a very important role in feng shui because they bring the natural life of the qi, which is that energy we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And they also keep the air fresh and they enhance the east and southeast position, which is one of the feng shui principle. And we tend to, they are also great poison arrow diffusers, so basically they reject bad energy. And we use them to hide the jutting corners, for example, or to deflect the negative energy that would come from beams and columns. We also, it helps, they help move energy in a recessed corner, and they drain the excess water energy in a bathroom, so they balance a bathroom area. And we also use them to slow down the energy in corridors, you know, long straight corridors. It's known to have fast energy, and it's very important to balance it. So,
is there any kind of plant, I guess, in a long hallway, maybe you want a taller tree, are there any kind of plants in particular you like to use?
Well, you know, there's some superstition about the specific type of, like, for instance, the lucky bamboo, or the idea being that it's known that we should avoid dried plants, but you know, then again, some people are very comfortable with that. But in general, it has to be fresh. Cut flowers would, you know, plants preferably, but then after that, cut flowers would have to be well maintained.
Yeah.
And you know, plants are one of the tools that are used for feng shui. We also use mirrors a lot, and crystals.
And mirrors reflect a space, and what does that do for it?
Well, mirrors, they activate, and they would enhance, and they would help that key energy circulate through the space. They are very useful in constrained spaces where they can double up the size of the area, and they are effective in recreating the missing spaces because, you know, the footprint of your house should have 9 areas, and sometimes due to the shape of the property, there are some missing spaces, and we would use mirror to recreate that missing area. And they should be positioned correctly. You know, they shouldn't be reflecting a main door, staircases, stoves, or toilet. And they shouldn't hang opposite a door, a window, another mirror, and they should be reflecting a bed or a brick wall, for instance.
Yeah, the toilet, that's not ever good. And that's why people need a professional like yourself to come in because, you know, people put up mirrors, they're too high, too low, they're, you know, not reflecting, as you say, the right thing. So someone like yourself to come in and do that once and get it right.
Yes, it does make a difference to have someone else come into your space and help you reevaluate your how you placed your art or the mirrors, like we're saying, or the furniture. It does make a difference to, you know, but this is why I'm very interested in feng shui, because it's a part of interior design, and it just makes sense.
Absolutely. And it's about balance, then, isn't it? It sounds like it's, you know, not too loud, not too noisy, not too quiet, like it's in between somewhere. So that's where the harmony comes from, because it's very balanced.
Yes, we try to, you know, make it inviting and comfortable, and basically, we should be owning our house, not our goods, you know, and furniture.
And you know, even if we have areas, I heard with feng shui, say a junk drawer that's full of stuff, it kind of emotionally will take energy away from us. So we should deal with those areas in our homes that are overcrowded, overdone.
Well, clutter is always some type of a barrier. But you know, for example, in living rooms, a lot of times you would see a furniture layout that are not really inviting to conversation, or they don't have the proper clearances between furniture, and then comes that guest who's maybe in a wheelchair, and then you have to start to move everything. Or you would have in dining rooms for feng shui, it's considered a social area and the center of wealth for the house. So we today are not so formal with dining rooms, but the area where we eat should have a good energy, and the decor should be kept upbeat, and you know, we should avoid heavy centerpieces there, and we should have chairs with backs, you know, and avoid that, those backs to be facing a doorway, and, you know, details like that. That's
make a difference. When we come back, let's talk more about that and maybe a little bit about our backyard for our summer entertaining.
New teams, no limits. Season 2 of The Amazing Race Canada is now in full flight.
It's about time.
Yeah! Filled with spills.
That is nasty.
Chills.
I can't even move.
And lots of thrills.
This is amazing.
Only 10 teams remain.
We're ready for anything the race brings us.
Let's do this.
Get her done.
And a few are now feeling the pressure.
I don't want to go home.
Run back! Run back!
Oh my God.
The Amazing Race Canada, Tuesday at 9 on CTV. Brought to you in part by Scotiabank. You're richer than you think.
We're at Victoria's only dedicated electric bicycle store, and it's called, are you ready for this? Pedigo. That's what they call it. Pedigo. Now, this is a brand new way of looking at an electric bike. And a guy who's got into this, and he's all part and parcel of bringing it into Victoria, Sam Bayo, is going to join us and tell us why. Now, what was it that you saw in this particular bicycle that was different from the other electric bikes?
It was just the quality and how well it was put together and how simple it works and the durability and sustainability. And they're also just beautiful bikes.
You know, the design and the way that they've handled these lithium polymer batteries is totally different from anything that I've ever seen. I mean, it's sleek.
Well, they're great. They have a long charge, and you can plug them in and charge them at any stage of their charge. So it's really fabulous that way. And I'd like to just invite anybody from Victoria to come down and take a test drive, absolutely free. And on Wednesday afternoons and also on Sunday afternoons, we're doing ocean tours, group tours, for, again, absolutely free with a small group, and love to have anybody who wants to come down and visit the store and go for a ride.
Sam, thank you and your team for bringing it here to Victoria and here in Oak Bay. The mayor of Oak Bay, Nils Jensen, went for a ride as well, and he's really high on this one. 2039 Oak Bay Avenue. It's called Pedigo. Don't miss out. And they've got great deals on clothing and cycles and all. It's waiting for you right now.
Joan and Bob here from Heirloom Linens.
With warmer nights upon us, Heirloom Linens has everything you need to help keep cool. Starting with our breathable, lightweight, twin, double, queen, or king-size silk-filled duvets at just $99.99, any size.
Providing your family with great value and exceptional customer service, we carry a wide range of fashionable bedding collections priced to fit every budget.
In Broadmead Village and at heirloomlinens.com. We only sound...
Nice try, Bob, but I've got this one. We only sound expensive.
Patty Mack here. You're listening to Lifestyle on CFAX 1070 every Saturday from 1 to 2. You can contact me, lifestylewithpattymack.com. We have Charlene Ionescu, who is from Aesthetic Design Concept Services. And how do people get a hold of you, Charlene?
I can be reached via phone. It's 250-800-0154. Or we have a website, which is www.aesthetic.com, AESTHETICC.com.
Now, we're talking about feng shui and your home today and how it can improve personal prosperity, health, happiness, positive energy, and harmony in your home. What about the office? Because that's an area sometimes where, you know, you might be doing your business as well as your home, you know, affairs there, kids projects. There could be a lot of things that cover that area. How can we keep that in order so that we can accomplish more?
Well, it's the same principle for a house. Then you can transfer the same for each room of the house. So what it means is that there are 9 locations with feng shui, and each location represents a part of our life. So, for instance, the south location of our house or the south location of a room would represent the recognition and fame in our house. As for the north would be the representation of our career and work. So if you take your house as much as possible, you would try to locate the home office in the north area of the house. And if you can't do that, then once you are in a room, in the office room, you would try to have, depending on the tasks that are performed there, you would try to have, for instance, the work part of your work on the north corner of that room, and so forth. So based on those 9 locations, this is how we start any layout for, you know, the groundwork to establish feng shui in your life.
Okay, and for a bedroom, is there a certain spot where the bed is better place so that you have a better sleep? Is there such a thing as that?
Yes. Basically, we try to avoid having a bed located in front of the door. You know, when you open the door, you shouldn't have
the bed
right in front of you, yes. And feng shui would encourage the bedroom area to be, you know, luxurious and decadent. And you should also have to support at the headboard. And it's a great area to avoid water features and avoid plants because they have too much energy for the rest. And it should be clutter-free.
Right.
Yes, and we also, one of the big rules is that if there are beans on the ceiling, we really avoid placing a bed under them.
Okay, and now we're talking about the backyard as well. We have a couple minutes left. Our deck in the backyard, how do we kind of make that environment inviting and, you know, on these hot days, make it feel cool and welcoming and comfortable?
Well, there are different ways to approach the outdoor space, but basically it is the same as any indoor environment. So you would try to bring comfort and to have the space represent maybe in a back door, in the outdoor we are a little bit more relaxed and than on the indoor. But the garden would be a great way to you know, bring things we like, either sculptures, water features. A specific favorite type of foliage, bring some color. If you know someone is very, very interested in a specific color, that may be a very good way to bring it. And to garden and to have a space for that would help our senses, you know.
And we can overdo it in that area too, can't we, where we have too many pieces of outdoor furniture in a small area. Or too many planters, that also sometimes can be edited to have a better flow.
Yes, and it gets to be more comfortable. Basically, the same rules for furniture layout would apply. We would like to be able to sit and have a conversation, and the same goes with the dining area outside. If you have a table with chairs, it's nice to be able to see everyone around the table. If you have, you know, sometimes we have more guests and we have to place those extra spaces outdoor, and then it's okay. But on a regular basis, yeah, clutter can be oppressive, even outdoor.
And so I hear, you know, the table outside, and you're talking about the table inside, maybe how we're not doing as much of that. But I think you probably agree, maybe it's time to use some of those tables and have the family meals again and use those spaces, enjoy them.
Yes, and just make it the center of the family and bring quality time and have good energy in the space, and that would help and make it feng shui, let's say.
Okay, and how do people get in touch with you about all the various things that you do, Charlene?
Yes, we can be reached by phone at 250-800-0154, or we have an email. A website, which is www.aestheticc.com, AESTHETICC.com.
Always great information, and anything we do to make our homes more enjoyable. I think we've learned lots today about eating some good food, enjoying some company, making our space nice. I appreciate Esther and Charlene being on the show today. Natalia, thank you very much for operating the board. Thank you every Saturday for being here with me on Lifestyle on CFAX. I appreciate it. Contact me about real estate and radio, lifestylepattymack.com. Till we meet again, get out there and enjoy your life.